Hey everybody, Brian here. Really quick before we get started on today's episode, you might realize it's extremely late. Without getting into the nitty-gritty details of it all, I had a family member in the hospital, and it kind of came out of nowhere that they had to go to the hospital. So this show, and pretty much every show that I'm involved with, got put on a very immediate and unknown length pause. And I'm getting back to it now, which is good. And everyone seems healthy and moving out of the hospital, which is great. Which leads me to Binge Buddies. We have this episode now, which we recorded a few weeks back, that will be coming out now, as you're currently listening to it, duh. And then not yesterday, but this upcoming Sunday, we're going to start recording again, and those episodes should be coming out not this upcoming Monday, the Monday after. I should probably give you dates, but I don't have any dates. So that'll wrap up season one, and then we'll be moving on to season two. So thank you everyone for your patience with this. Sorry the break was so long. And enjoy. So, hi, welcome to Binge Buddies. With me, as always, is Matt Zombie Dog. Thanks.
Hello.
Everybody loves Celine, right?
Yeah.
They give her a bunch of movies. Yeah.
That is not a name you hear too often.
In, like, pop culture or, like, just in general?
General.
Yeah, Celine doesn't really come around very often.
It kind of sounds like a... does?
Selena does, yeah. But Celine, it kind of sounds like a cleaning solution. Oh, just put some Celine on that.
I was thinking a snake, so... I don't know why, though. It seems like a very sort of, like, slithery name.
I could see that, yeah. Sure. We also have Joel... Marlowe DeWitt.
Marlowe. Maybe it's just because of Marley and Me, but that makes you think dogs.
I thought dog as well. Is there a dog out there called Marlowe?
I mean, maybe. But there's also a vampire from 30 Days of Night named Marlowe, and he doesn't really have a long lines. He just kind of looks angry and eats people.
Like a dog.
Like a dog.
Yeah, like a dog.
30 Days of Night is one of those movies that I've gone back to a few times, and I'm like, this movie gets hated a lot for no reason. It's not that bad. It's not great, but it's not that bad.
You know, like, sometimes being mediocre is the worst sin.
I mean, it's when you're mediocre, you are easily forgotten, which is kind of too bad.
I kind of feel like that 30 Days of Night gets so much of a bad rap, though, because it's a comic adaptation. I haven't read the comic, but from what I've heard, the comic is exceptional.
It's fine. I read it. It's my personal taste. I'm not a huge fan of the art style in the book, and that kind of took me out of the book. I can tell that the art is excellent. Like, I can see that from, like, a non, like, opinionated point of view. I'm like, oh, this is a beautiful book. It's just not the style that I like, so it's kind of tough to really get into it. The story might be great, but if I can't get into the art in a comic, it's tough. Like, one of my favorite things of all time is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Love it. But after a very long string of like 10 issues of an artist I didn't like, I dropped the book and I haven't gone back. And like, that makes me a bad Turtles fan. I get it, but it's still, comics are expensive, man.
Yeah, they are.
You got to enjoy the whole package.
Yeah.
And just because, you know, we're talking comics and I have to mention this, if you are a comic book fan ever, that means you probably like Garth Ennis. And if you like Garth Ennis at all, you should be reading his new Batman book, because it's incredible. Garth Ennis writing Batman is
not... Batman book?
He's doing a Batman book. And it's drawn by Liam Sharp, who's my favorite artist in comics. So it's one of the best writers ever, with one of the best artists ever, making the best book on the shelf right now. Batman Reptilian.
My favorite run of comics is his Max line on The Punisher. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite one ever. I imagine that when I pick that up, that will become my favorite Batman run.
It's only two or three books in right now, and I think it's like a 10-issue run. I could be wrong, but so far it's fantastic. Like, fantastic. It's just, like, brutally funny and mean, and the art is so weird and wild because it's Liam Sharp. Can't recommend it highly enough. But we should talk what we do in the shadows, right? That's what we're here for. Before we go way down that rabbit hole that I'm going to leave that in, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anyone about Batman Reptilian yet, and it just kind of came up semi-not really organically.
Let's do another podcast at some point. Brian's Comic Hour.
I mean, I've been talking about that since I started After the Hype, like, fucking 10 years ago, wanting to do a comic book podcast, and I've never done it. Maybe
I mean, I can leave if you guys want to do that.
or you can start reading some comics.
Yeah.
telling you, man, comics are like pizza. It's for everyone. You just need to find the version that you like.
nice segue then.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, let's talk about orgies.
Yeah. I've been to an orgy.
I have not, and I don't think I ever will. They're just...
Your orgy days are behind you.
Yeah, I don't think the orgy days were ever in front of me, let's be honest. That's like my life and orgies were ever going to cross paths.
I think there's no right age to be in an orgy, to be fair. I threw my back out at 22. So, you
know. All right, so the episode this week is The Orgy, if you couldn't tell. Another episode directed by Jason Woyliner, who I really enjoy. This episode, to me, is fucking brilliant. Like, it's one of those ones where when you sit down, the episode starts, you can go, this orgy isn't going to happen. Like, you just know, because of the show you're watching, something's going to go wrong, this isn't going to happen, they're going to end up very upset. Like, you just know it. But even knowing that, going along for the ride is incredible. Like, I love this episode. This might be one of my favorites of the entire season. When we get to ranking it in next week's episode, this might be number one. I've been saying that about a lot of episodes. I kind of forgot how fucking solid this first season is. But on rewatch this past time, I think everything from like the setup to the final payoff joke in the episode is brilliant. That's my take. Where were you guys on it?
Again, I loved this episode. I've not had an episode in this season that I've not loved. And I've watched them multiple times as well. Like, I don't just watch them once. I will watch them once without just paying attention. Then I'll watch it again to take notes, and then if I've got time, I'll watch it again just before we record. And every single episode this season has been brilliant, and this one, again, I've loved it. You know, like you said about it being a solid season, yeah, I cannot disagree with that at all. It's so good. It's brilliant.
Joel, where were you on this one?
It's okay.
Do you know what I realized as well? As I was going on, I was thinking, "Oh my god, I'm sort of I've gone on a lot there," and I was in my head, I was thinking, "I really hope Joel says it's okay."
Mind meld, man. So I should preface this with, it's still an entertaining episode, and I'm sure as we talked about it, I'm gonna be like, "Oh yeah, that was really funny. That was really funny." My first impression after watching it, and this is one of the few episodes I did not watch twice, but it, you know, that episode of The Office where they're doing a bachelor party and then Michael Scott and Ryan go to the sex shop and Michael's like pointing and diddling at all the toys while Ryan's talking to somebody else. It felt like a whole episode of that, which like, you know, I think it's more a me thing. Like that, the premise was funny enough, but they did linger a bit long on like, oh, you know, all these sex toys, oh, all this, all that, and the character interactions are great. It's just I think the table dressing for it isn't necessarily my speed.
That's fair.
See, I liked that sort of stuff, like when like the way they worked it into the dialogue though, is like with Nadja saying to Guillermo, "You're a non-stop book machine." That reminds me, have you ordered the non-stop book machine? And it's just the way they play with the you know, the like insulting someone, and it's reminding them of something that's exactly the same as that. I like the way that the dialogue was written to sort of like, you know, mix in, I suppose is the right word, with what was going on as well. Yeah,
and I agree with that. I just, in some ways, I'm trying to be hushed tones because my kids are away. in some ways, the orgy itself was a character, and I'm not sure that I cared for that character. Let's put it that way.
Okay, that makes sense. But like, see, for me, there's things in this episode that, and I think this one plays more on like the improvisation, like the improv from these people more than a lot of the ones that we've seen before, because a lot of the jokes kind of had that sort of like raw, like this was just improv. And for me, like, the moment I knew I loved this episode is when they have Guillermo, since they can't put mirrors in the ceiling because they're all fucking vampires, so they have Guillermo up on a ladder with a bullhorn trying to describe what he's seeing, and they're just seeing how good is he at it, and he's fucking terrible at it. And they cut to the wide of it, and you see Matt Berry on a couch mimicking like a woman giving him a blowjob. And then Najee comes over and starts mimicking, like jerking off somebody into his mouth. And you just hear Matt Berry go, "Oh, it must be my birthday."
Well, he starts off doing that on his own. He starts off like, so he's mimicking getting a blowjob, and he's also air wanking a cock himself as well. Oh, God. And then, like, Nando's kind of like, I don't, like, riding something in the corner or something.
Yeah. And even, like, that scene just ends so well. He gets down at the ladder. He's having a problem with it. Najee is yelling at all these things, and he just kind of mouths off, and Guillermo runs out of the room. And Matt Berry's just like, "Are you going to let him get away with that?" And Nando's like, "He did. He got away. He just left."
I love that. I love that so much. It's like, he's gone. He's gotten away with it.
Guillermo really is just like Nando's unruly pet.
He really is.
He's the dog that has learned his tricks and his manners, but like still acts out a little bit. He's still got a little bit of that supposed wildness to it.
Yeah,
I think what it is, I think he's like, he's starting to get fed up with all the shit. Like, the more that we see him grow throughout the season, the more he's starting to realize they're never going to turn me into a vampire, and I'm doing all this shit for nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like, and then this episode really comes to the head of we're jumping all over around the thing, but I think that's just kind of important for this one, because this one doesn't really have a story so much as a series of horrible events. But like, when Guillermo and Nando have to go out and run their errands and go buy stuff, and like, they meet his virgin friend, and it's like, oh, Guillermo's gonna have to murder his virgin friend. And you can see, like, he legitimately has a problem with this. Like, oh, like, I murder people. Well, maybe I don't murder them, but I get people murdered every day. But this guy, it's like, oh, poor Guillermo.
And then it's like a friend that, you know, they went to school together. Like, you know, it's an old friend, like someone he's known for years.
Yeah.
And I just love that they went to the same fucking shop they always go to. You know, they're having an orgy. Let's go get some supplies. Where should we go? That same shop.
And let's ask them for sex toys. We mostly do like
Jade Buttock eggs.
I love the woman, like, we mostly do like bags for kids.
Yeah. And I love Nando's like, they don't have to be jade. They can be anything. Maybe not silver, because that would be like a burning sensation.
I'm like, ouch, I have a silver egg in my butt. But yeah, so I'm trying to recontextualize this episode in my head now. Of like, if Joel's saying this one's just fine and I'm saying it might be number one, like, what am I like seeing that either is it there? Is it just the fact that I love the idea of them having an orgy so much and then having it fail so much? Because I kind of see what Joel's talking about as far as like the orgy being a character, because everyone's just trying to like get ready for this thing that's ultimately not coming. But at the same time, like, I find it really funny. Like, the fact that they're predicting their own doom. Like, the beginning of this thing, like, when I mentioned it last week at the end of the episode, Najee goes on this whole speech about, you can't be a vampire that gave that threw a bad orgy. Like, we won't even speak the name of the person who threw a bad orgy. Like, Lazlo's like, I don't give a fuck. His name was Mike.
Fucking Mike. Immediately, she just comes in black.
I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a prude. Maybe it just comes down to that. I've tried to learn to not, personally assign it being my fault. But, like, I've heard myself say I'm not a prude several times. And it's not like I'm offended by this necessarily. It's just more like it doesn't do anything for me. Like, I don't find the premise itself. Like you said, like, the actions that lead to its eventual downfall and abject failure is funny. And there's a lot of funny moments in this. It's just the premise does nothing for me.
That makes a lot of sense. Because, my only major complaint with this episode, and it's, I guess major is a very strong word, but my only minor complaint with this one is that Colin Robinson has very little to do. Like, and I love Colin Robinson so much in this, but they just didn't have a lot for him. Like, I like his spiel about, my only concern of the orgy is that people won't like my room.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was one of the fun. Yeah, that might be my moment for this episode. Because, like, he's showing the room. And you know, like, the end of the Blair Witch Project, where she's going down to the basement? Yeah. it is like that, except with a bed. That's
all. And a filing cabinet.
And you can totally see him, like, tying somebody up and then talking about the series Cheers and about whether Sam and Diane will ever reconcile or something like that.
I love how he's got a painting of human food on the wall to make so if a human comes, it makes them feel more comfortable. Yeah.
Like, he's still hilarious. He still nails his moments, but he just has a lot fewer moments. His I do love
outfit,
his
though.
His outfit is so good.
Oh my God.
But you're right, Brian. Like, Colin is there for one joke and one joke only. Yeah. He doesn't have any real interactions with anybody. It felt like, okay, we need to sneak him in here somewhere because he doesn't have much else to do.
And which makes sense. I mean, he does have that great line, like, after everybody leaves and, like, the thing has failed, which we're going to get to in a moment. I'm saving all the really wonderful Laszlo stuff for the end of this.
Okay. I was going to say, because, like, there's a big chunk of this we've not talked about.
I know. I'm saving that for the end. But, like, so everyone leaves. They're all pissed off. And Colin Robinson's still game. And he's just like, so just the three of us then?
He was so excited about it as well. Like, you could just sort of... Like the little bits you got of him in there, he was so excited. Like, you can tell this is the first vampire orgy he's been to. It's the first one that he's been invited to, and it's only because he lives there.
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't invited. He just lives there, so he kind of has to be there. But I do like the people they do invite. Like, they invite some of the people they kind of murdered. And, like, it just kind
of shows... Mr. 50s comes in and with the burn down his face.
Oh, man. And I love the Babadook that shows up. Oh, is my cousin? Is he a Babadook? No, I'm a Bababook. Bada bing, bada book. I love Babadooks being part of, like, nerd culture now. The movie's so good.
It is really good. Yeah.
And so not funny at all. But everywhere that popped up in pop culture since then has been rather funny. The movie is very dark and sad.
Yes, but the meme of, like, why aren't you normal?
and
having the girl be something.
I haven't seen one of those in a while. Oh, boy. All right, so we start talking Laszlo in this thing.
Yeah.
Laszlo goes on a journey.
His box of orgy stuff. Oh, my God. Is that codpiece? Bat codpiece? The peekaboo cape.
Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Where he's just like, so you walk down with a cape, and then you do this, and then it's like the fucking, like, pixelated penis is just sort of like swinging there. Oh, God. The swinging element of it just reminded me of the Venture Brothers episode where Rusty's, like, having that flashback to when he's dad, and, like, they animated the swinging of it there as well. It's just because it's so, like, it's like a fucking pendulum.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just this pixelated box just moving.
But then you get to Laszlo's porn, and everything about Laszlo's porn cracks me up. Like, the fact that he's been doing porn for centuries and no one's caught on is funny. The fact that he and Nadja have been together for centuries and she didn't know about it is funny. Like,
the fact that he did it for centuries and he's still terrible at it.
Yeah. He's still terrible at it. Like, everything about
time to
porn.
23 skidoo, or should I say 69 skidoo?
And, like, and now it's time for the 90s and they're doing a Friends parody. Is like, could it be any sexier?
Well, it's also called Sign Fuck.
Yeah.
It's called Sign Fuck, but then it appears to be like a half Friends, half Seinfeld parody.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then it's like just him describing his pornos. I did this one. It's called The Randy Vampire, and I was the vampire.
I've got that whole thing written down, and that's my moment at the end.
I mean, it's so fucking good. And then, like,
it really is.
And like my favorite bit is
to write it down as well.
I'm sure. My favorite bit is Nadia's moment at the end of all of it, like the whole thing of there's nothing more terrifying to find out your husband's done porn. Like that that spiel is fantastic. Nadia throughout this entire episode, like I feel like we didn't really talk about her, even though she is the like driving force throughout it. She is hysterical throughout the whole thing.
I said my favorite thing about that moment is what which is that nothing more devastating than finding out your husband has made porn. And it's so bloody boring.
Yeah. Like, she has no problem with the fact that he did porn, just that he's bad at it. Yeah. And then when she tells him it's boring and it just breaks his heart. Like, we haven't seen Laszlo get legitimately upset throughout this entire show. But when it comes to bad-mouthing his porn, oh, that did it.
Yeah.
That was the bridge too far. He doesn't want to go to the orgy anymore. He puts on sweatpants, goes to bed early. Like, you have to remember, he's going to bed so early. It's nighttime. The orgy hasn't started yet. It has to be, like, even like going to bed at 10 in the morning.
It's like a child trying to stay in the room and their mom being like, come on, it's okay. You know, you're going to be okay. I think what's great about Nadia in this episode is that, it may be just me, but I don't remember very specific lines. But like you said, she's very situationally funny.
Yeah,
and so like Laszlo and Nandor, they've got these like bombastic lines that happen, and then she's like you said, the driving force, but also a little understated in that way.
Yeah.
It's like when Jeremy arrives, and she's like, "And who are you?" And he's like, "Oh, hi, I'm Jeremy. I brought Moji ice cream. Is there a place I can put my backpack?" And then there's the look of joy on her face, and she's like, "Everyone, the Virgin is here."
And I love that Jeremy, like, he does not understand what's happening. He just thinks, like, he's their honored guest because it is an orgy. And between that and Guillermo being, like, feeling so much guilt about sending him into this pit of despair and doom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, because he's the honored guest at an orgy, the first thing he does is he fucks somebody. Like, he's at the party for 5 minutes, and he starts fucking somebody. Like... Just that utter disappointment. Laszlo shows up. He ruins the whole orgy by declaring his love for his wife and inviting her upstairs to have a two-person orgy. Just completely ruins everything. Everyone tries to leave. Nadia tries to save the day by like, no, don't forget about our asthma-ridden, nose-bleeding, totally pathetic virgin in the other room who just lost his virginity.
The best thing about that Laszlo moment is the guy who calls out like one of the porn films and is like, yes. You just hear this voice in the distance. But it's like recently I was watching all my porno film, which are sexy and a turn on.
Laszlo is somebody with a very sensitive ego.
Yeah.
and I think that sort of lends into it, Brian, about how, like you say, this is the first time he's truly been like hurt. Like he was offended at what happened to his bushes from the werewolves, but he was angry there. This is like him getting his sore sort of pushed a little too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything else where he's like, he's been sort of hurt in like, you know, like what you would say, hurt. It's been anger rather than actual emotional pain.
Right.
Whereas this is actually his feelings have been hurt and he is actually upset. He's not angry at someone. He's just upset.
Yeah. And it's like, poor Laszlo. You'll be fine. I like your sweatpants. They look good, man. You can go have sex with your wife as a bat.
The look on Nando's face. I had to rewind that because it's so quick and I was looking at it going, what the hell's going on there? And then it's like it's kind of over, so I rewound it and I paused and I got really close to the TV and I was like, that is two bats. That is actually two bats. Oh,
and
God.
Maybe it's just me, I'm not sure, but I can guarantee Nadia's on top.
Oh yeah. 1,000%. Like, yeah. You know, if you could get bat-sized strap-ons, she's probably pegging him, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think we've learned that Laszlo, the list of things he's not for is smaller than the list of things he's for.
Oh, yeah, he did gay porn. Like one of the films that you see.
His description that is so goddamn funny. No, 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 you don't understand. You know, I think it's women, but they're actually chaps. But I'm into it.
Yeah. And I still enjoy it. And then there's that other one where it's like the like you see him sat on a sofa talking to some guy called Philip or something. It's like, you know, how old are you? I can't remember the exact line, but it says some random age, but it's like, you know, or 18.
Yeah. God damn it, he's funny in this. All right, I think we should move on to favorite moments. You guys ready for favorite moments?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Matt, why don't you go first, since yours is very long.
Well, there's two that I've got, and it's like, if no one takes one of them, I want to do both of them, to be fair. So I'll do the long one now, and if no one takes the other one, I'll do that one at the end.
Okay. Boy, bad choice, Brian.
I know, right? I did say his was very long.
Yeah. It's very, very long, because it's two.
Let's go.
So there's it's just Laszlo talking about his porn film. So it's like, in the late 1800s, a new and exciting medium was invented, and that medium was called cinema. And then about a week later, it developed into pornos. Now, my first porno film I ever made was The Adventures of a Very Randy Vampire, and I played the leading role of the Very Randy Vampire. I was cast because they thought I looked like a vampire, never once realizing that I was a fucking vampire.
All right, so...
So fucking good.
My favorite bit has to be... we already kind of mentioned it earlier, but it's Nadia talking about her husband's porns. And just the way she does it, she sells it so well. Like, there's nothing more upsetting to find out than your husband has done pornos than to find out that they're so bloody boring! Her problem is not the fact that he did porn, it's that it's bad porn that she can't use for her orgy.
Yep.
Joel, what about you?
I already talked about the Colin Robinson one, but the other one is when Laszlo gets out of his funk and shows up and goes on his monologue of his love for his wife. And everybody walking out, and you can see the horror in Nadja's eyes, in her expression, and just complete embarrassment over the situation. And it's that perfect level of, like, office uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
That toes that line between uncomfortable and funny. And it just, it's executed very well.
And, like, Nadja's sort of desperation at trying to get them to stay. Like, no, we still have the virgin. And then, like, they bring the curtains back, and then the virgin's having sex in front of them. And it's just, it's like the perfect cap off to that moment as well.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's so good.
The other one was when they're talking about the orgies themselves, and Nadja says, one time they tried to go triannual, and Laszlo ends up, which is bloody pointless, because it takes me at least 6 months to recover from any orgy. And then it's just the complete look of disappointment, and the way she says it, she goes, yes, it does. It's so good. The look on her face is just perfect.
God damn it, she's funny. Oi. All right. So we only have one episode left in the season. My goodness.
It's gone really quick.
I mean, it always does. Mm-hmm. I think we've said that for every show but Venture Brothers, because Venture Brothers had longer seasons. But even those still went pretty quick.
Yeah.
So the next one is called Ancestry. And I'm not going to get into it any more than that. It's a very good episode. Mr. Taika Waititi himself directed it. So it's a pretty solid episode. It's a very good finale. Unfortunately, Joel cannot join us next week, so you will not be on for the finale and wrap-up, but he'll be back after that. We are going to take a little bit of a break in between seasons 1 and 2, because I have a trip to Chicago and Wisconsin, and I won't be able to record at the same time. And that's pretty much the entire month of September. So we'll be back in October, which is very fitting for a vampire show, right?
Yes. So.
Sounds like you planned this out.
It you know, it was planned, so there you go. I mean, it wasn't at the time, but it just kind of worked out that way. It's an accidental plan, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Let's do a very quick round of plugs, and we'll say goodbye for this show and every other show on the ATH Network. Be sure to check out ATHpod.com. We are still in the Donner month, and we're having a lot of fun. We finished up Superman 2. We finished up Lethal Weapon 2. We finished up that other one that I talked about. And then we're going to finish up with Timeline. And Timeline is a movie. It might not be Donner's best movie, but it does have a lot of people that we love in it. And we're going to give it a shot just because, you know, all we did were the great ones of Donner. So we got to watch one that was supposedly pretty awful. And it'll be a fun watch. So be sure to listen to Timeline. And then over at Demon Days, we're still having a blast. A lot of combat coming up. Be sure to check it out. Great show. Joel, what about you?
No, you don't deserve my plug.
Fair enough. Matt, what about you?
I've got nothing to plug, but it's not because you don't deserve it. It's just because I'm doing fuck all.
Joel, do you not want to talk about either one of your podcasts?
I listen to a podcast called Super GG Radio sometime. I'm occasionally on it. It's a video game podcast. And my wife and I do a book podcast called Afterthoughts. We are trying to figure out a book, so we got nothing really to report there.
You should do Dune.
I should, but it's her turn, so she gets to choose.
You should do Dune.
I tried reading Dune. It's a very hard book to read.
I have one chapter left. I started reading it a few months back. I'm almost done. I'm so close.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go on a solo run of that and then decide if it's up for Kelly. So, you know, sometimes we filter each other based on what we think we know the light or not. I need to figure out more about that first.
You should do Dune.
See, this is why you didn't deserve my plug in the first place.
I thought you didn't want to sully your plug with, like, you know, an orgy-related episode. I thought that's what it was.
Well, we are technically NPR affiliated, so I suppose that could be a problem.
Well, there you go. Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
You should do Dune.